going to preach at the nursing home, Tanner? You want to come try it out on these people right quick? I'll give you 10 minutes. Come on. If you want to preach to it, just preach what you're going to preach. You can practice.
Amen.
All right? Yes, sir. We'll get you stood up here with the microphone so they can see you. And we'll be able to get you on this deal. Is that tall enough? You need it taller. We just play like we're a bunch of old folks in the nursing home. And a lot of us, you'll be right old. Go right ahead on.
We'll be reading in Psalms 20. I'm trying to find the place. Psalms 20. Where is it? 23. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. Green pastures he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thy purpose of table before me in the presence of mine miles. Thou honest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
And if you go to Psalms 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And what's really wrong about this world is when people have a prayer, they're normally like, I want it now,
yeah,
or I want it right then. But
yes,
we should wait on the Lord, and he makes it the perfect time.
Amen.
When it's needed.
Yes, sir.
So that's real good that we should put that in our hearts, mostly when we pray. And that will help a lot about this, how this world is. And that's really all I have.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good all the way around.
Amen.
I've always said that whenever you run out of soap, the wash is over.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They start out, and the Baptist preacher, they start out, and they can't get a handle on it. So an hour and a half later, they're still trying to find the handle.
And it ain't there.
And it ain't there. Hey, buddy, you done right. You got to it, got quick, got done. Amen. What was that somebody said one time? You ought to stand up, you ought to speak up, and then you ought to shut up, and then sit back down.
Amen.
And so that's a good deal, ain't it? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking, and I thought that'd be a blessing. And it's hard, you know, whenever you're just all of a sudden right out there. That's commendable. Have I got my mic on? No, how about now? Is it on now? There we go. All right, in 2 Kings in chapter number 20, if you find the place and you're able to stand, that's going to be a blessing right there all the way around. And so we thank the Lord and bless the Lord for that, and what good wisdom out of a young man like that. All right, take your Bible now, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and a prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, he came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how that I have walked before thee in truth. I mean, you know, there's something we ought to be able to say. Here's a man that said, Lord, I want you to remember how I walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass that afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, that I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears, and behold, I'll heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And he took and he laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backward. Boy, you talk about time moving backwards. There it is. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by the which he had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. How good it was to sit down at Tanner's feet, listen to him reading the Holy Scripture. And Lord, may you apply it to our hearts. And we'll say thank you in advance for saving sinners, reviving saints, and lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. I want to preach a little while on an old subject that every now and again comes up. And it's set thine house in order. I will tell you, since the day you and I have been born into this world, as we get older, we go to bowing towards where we're headed, the grave. I got to tell you, nobody's going to live forever unless you have Jesus Christ and you have everlasting life because of him. It'll pass before you know it. And one of these days, it'll come our time that God's going to bring us to the other side. In this day that we're looking at, you'll find here's a man by the name of Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah is the king of Judah. And let me say to you that it's not an easy task. In fact, is, do you realize it all, that Israel was full of pride. Israel was full of rebellion. Israel was getting, if you read the other chapters that precede this, if you read that, they got in trouble because they wanted to be like the rest of the world, worship the work of their own hands and worship the hands of idolatry. And let me tell you, God was angry with that crowd. And as a result of that, they paid the ultimate price. But all of a sudden here, they've got a king that wants to walk in truth and do right in the sight of God. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this, do you realize that, oh, if you're going to set your house in order, number one, it's going to take the same thing for you and I that it took for Hezekiah. You know what it was? It took preaching. Man walked up by the name of Isaiah. And let me tell you, this is not an easy task. He walked up to a king, buddy. He walked up to somebody that could have had him beheaded. He walked up to a king of Israel, or the king of Judah, rather, in this sense. And the Bible said that Isaiah went up and told him, you're fixing to die, you're not going to live. Now, obviously, he had some kind of a sickness. I don't know if he had blood poison. I don't know what he had. I don't know what was causing the trouble. What I do know is that the remedy was take a lump of figs, put upon the boil, and somehow or another you're going to recover. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that it's not easy to pronounce death. I know every now and again, you know, is that somebody gets ready to get ready to die, and somebody's going to have to preach their funeral. And let me tell you right now, as I know all of y'all, boy, I hope they let the preacher, I hope they let him, because you think that I'm a little bulldog or something like that. But let me tell you, that's not an easy task to stand up before a crowd of hostility and to preach the love of Christ and about the judgment of God and about heaven being real and about hell being real. It's not easy. That's not an easy task. I've never had to walk up to a king, but I guarantee you right now, old Isaiah walked up to him and he said, you're not going to live any longer. You're going to die. You're about to meet your maker. Hezekiah, you better get your house in order. And let me tell you, I hope that you and I don't have to wait till then. What a nasty task that was. I mean, Isaiah didn't bat an eye. He just simply did whatever the Lord told him to do. He went right on over there, and he told this king, he said, you better get your house in order because you're fixing to leave this world that we're living in. Now, it was a short message. Did you notice that? In fact, did you notice that in the Bible, you don't find any iron half messages in the Bible. So they walk up, preach about 60 or 70 words, turn around and walk off. That's what they did. And let me say to you that in the lesson that we're living in, you're going to find out that absolutely is that the pronouncement of death and the message was short, and he delivered it, and then he turned and he goes out to depart. Whenever the Lord spoke to him again and said, wait a minute, I want you to turn, go back in there and tell Hezekiah that I'm going to add 15 years to him. Now, it's a little easier to do that. I want to say to you that when you begin to look at leadership, whether you be a king of a country, regardless if you're pastor at a church, if you're just leading your home, let me tell you, that's a task that's hard to fulfill in the mind of God and in the will of God. Let me say to you, the enemy's always lurking. He was always lurking then. Remember in the days whenever old Hezekiah, Sennacherib, remember him? Buddy, he would breathe down on their neck. Those Assyrians hated those Jews. And let me tell you, make no mistake at all about it, is that the Lord sent an angel into the camp, killed 185,000 of the enemy, and they got to being able to take their little, what they had left, and begin to go. Can you imagine 185,000 slain by an angel in one night laying across the land? That's quite a few people. I want to say to you that if you will, that if you're going to get your house in order, you're going to have to hear some preaching. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist, don't you? They hear just enough preaching to make them miserable. It ain't long, you know, and they walk around. All these boys and girls here, they've got a good, they've got a nice, they've got a decent haircut. Well done on your haircut this morning. Sometimes mine gets a little long, and before I have to start using rollers, I go get it cut and look like a man. I'm going to tell you something. Let me say it again. Is that the Bible said, nature, doeth not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory, it's an honor unto her, you see. So let me just caution you, ladies, you can cut yours too short, but you cannot grow it too long. Let me say to you, fellas, you can grow yours too long, but you cannot ever get it cut too short. And let me tell you right up front, I believe that all of our people, that they look right, walk right, and talk right, for the most part, they even spit white. I got to say to you that we live in a day and an hour somehow or another, that if you're going to set your house in order, and by the way, I just want to tell you that independent Baptists are notorious for saying stuff that's just pure crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I was at a place, you know, and listen, I know a preacher. I know a preacher that was preaching over years ago. He died, now he's dead and he's gone. He said, man, I went up there to one of them boys' home, and that preacher was preaching and bad about the girls ought to keep their elbows covered. What kind of pervert looks at a woman's elbow and gets stirred up about it? Said, they ought not to be wearing sandals with their toes showing. What do you think they had in the bag? They wasn't wearing combat boots in the Bible. Huh? Oh, well, I get excited when I see a woman's ankle. You're a pervert. That's what's the matter with you. If you're walking around, buddy, and you're showing a bosom, if you've got a bosom showing, we're looking. We might even salute if we don't catch ourselves. Thank you for your service. I'm just saying to you, there's enough in the Bible that's right and that's real without having to make up a bunch of junk as you go along. That preacher, he said, you know, they said, he said he got on even these men wearing short sleeve shirts. Where'd you get that from out of the Bible, mister? I'm not going to go home and cut up a bunch of my stuff. You know, I've got clothes. I've got so many clothes that I'll never be able to wear all that I've got. My wife, of course, keeps them. She keeps them done up. I've got a stack over here where I had to, where I was a little fatter, and they're that tall, blue jeans, just crammed in there. I've got another stack over here where I lost a little bit of weight, so I try to save them for nice and dressy. And some of them are so far down in the list, they're still like brand new. Can't even tell it. Now, I want to tell you right up front, you can live any way you want to live. Do whatever you want to do. But don't try to put me in your house of bondage because you've lost your mind. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you begin to find out is that you'll find is that if you're going to get your house in order, it's going to take some preaching, buddy. It's going to take some preaching. And not only that, but let me tell you right now, you've got the right. You've got the God-given right. If I preach something that ain't in the Bible, to walk up and say, where'd you get that from? Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot, never do you like that, but let me just tell you right now is that that's exactly what's wrong in the day we live in. I'm not looking for a little cliquish and clannish and thing like that. I mean, do you like big thighs? Find you a woman that's got them. If you're a man, you like small ankles? Find you a woman got little... See what? I'm just funning a little bit and going on there now, but let me just say to you that if you will, here's a man that's a king of Judah. Boy, God has sent a man of God to him, told him, you're going to die. You're sick. You're sick. I know you feel like you're going to die. Well, guess what? You're going to. All right, number two is that not only that, it's going to take some prayer. If you're going to get your house set in order, it's going to be some prayer. Do you know when Hezekiah heard that message, he began to weep, so turned his face toward the wall. But he didn't want to be distracted, no doubt, from the word of the Lord. And boy, he began to make an appeal to God.
Yes, sir.
Lord, have I not believed your word? Have I not walked in your word? Have I not done according to thy word? You see what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out he took the message to heart. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? We're not really taking the message to heart many times. He didn't treat it lightly. He took it to heart. He immediately started praying. He immediately got away from being distracted. He said, I don't want the world distracting me from God. I just want to know, Lord, what's going on here that I can continue what I'm doing for the cause of the Lord. I want to say to you that if you will, here's an old boy that was tuned in with his whole heart. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist, don't it? And when I say average Baptist, I'm not talking about you that are here. I know this is the cream of the crop. Listen, this is the best church that I know of in a country. And if it wasn't, I'd be going to wherever it was. I'm just telling you. You think I couldn't? I don't want to have to move again. It costs me a lot more money to move than it does somebody gets disgruntled. But I just want to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, I think this is the best church that's in the world. And if I didn't, I'd be living wherever that church was in the world. I'm right where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do, exalting the name of the Lord that's above every name, and make no mistake about it, I've not even touched the hem of his garment. But I know when somebody's in the book and then somebody just gets out of the book. See what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that he appeals on his past life of obedience. I hope we can do that. I hope we can appeal to the fact that God is doing good and done us good in the sight of God. And the Bible said, and he wept sore. You talk about an old boy praying, but he was praying, weeping before God. And I want you to notice that, if you will, in the lesson, in verse number 4 and 5, we'll not reread it, but if you're going to be able to get your house in order, you're going to have to appeal to the promise of God. And here's what he did was, God speaks again and says, all right, I want you to go back in there and tell him that I'm going to add 15 years unto his life. Now, that's a pleasant message. That's a pleasant task. Is that God's heard you. And here's what he said. God's heard you. He saw your tears, Hezekiah. And he heard you weeping. He's heard you weeping before God. And he's about to add 15 years to your life. And he's going to deliver you out of the hand of the Assyrians. And God said, you take a lump of figs and put on that boil and you'll recover. Well, like all good people, Hezekiah said, how am I going to know that's going to come to pass? Well, let me tell you something, friend. If you need a little sign from heaven, God's going to give it to you, Hezekiah. Would you like the dial that your daddy Ahaz, would you like it to move forward 10 degrees or would you like it to move backwards? Oh, man, he said, anybody could maybe not think it was too big a deal to move the degree, time forward, move it backwards 10 degrees. And did you notice that Isaiah got over there and prayed unto the Lord and begged and asked God to move it backwards 10 degrees? And he did so. And as a result of that, here's a man that's about to recuperate from a disease that was killing him. Look in Isaiah chapter 38. Turn quickly there. Isaiah chapter number 38 as we get down to the short row. Isaiah chapter 38. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be able to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior in the free pardon of sin. I'm glad to know that he's real and he's real in my heart. I want us to practice every now and again. Every time those girls were singing this morning, I think about old Brother Roland. And there's a song that he used to sing, a couple of three of them that he used to. One of them is, would you be a victor? And the other one is, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness and all I have to do is follow. We used to sing that every now and again. I don't think we have it in the book, but let's learn that tune again, girls. Remind me of it, and we'll start singing that every now and again just to kind of keep it alive and well. I want to say to you in Isaiah in chapter 38, and the Bible said in verse number 17, and here's the lesson. You can read it. The very first part tells you about Hezekiah being sick unto death and tells you about setting his house in order and Isaiah preaching. But look at about verse 17. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get your house in order, you're going to have some wholehearted praise. I'm not just talking about coming together nonchalant, hey, I got through another service, but I'm talking about praising with every fiber of your being the name of the Lord and what he's done for you. In this passage, we're looking at verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Boy, isn't that a good thing to think about? You know where your sins are? They're gone. You know what God did with them? Throw them behind his back. He's not holding them against you anymore. For the grave, he said, cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, and therefore we will sing my songs unto the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah hath said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up into the house of the Lord? And then he goes on and tells him, I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, it's going to take preaching to get your house in order. It's going to take real prayer. And I'm not just talking about now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about real prayer, real confession, real consecration unto God in prayer. And it's going to take leaning upon the promise of God that he's given. And let me tell you, is that by the time you get to there, you'll be able to praise him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I'm not waiting to leave here to praise the name of the Lord. I'm just not. What I'm ready for, I'm ready to say with the apostles and the men and women of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, you can't say that with all of your heart unless you've got your house in order. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. We thank and praise you now for this good message we heard from this young man named Tanner. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of God and the Spirit of God that leads and guides and directs us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. And we'll say, thank you, Lord, for saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free. In Jesus' name, we